You're listening to KUVO 89.3. My name is Shane German, your KUVO program director. That was music from Casa Overall, the song Visible Walls from the album I Think I'm Good. Casa Overall is a Grammy-nominated musician, MC, singer, producer, and drummer who melds avant-garde experimentation with hip-hop production techniques to tilt the nexus of jazz and rap into unmapped directions. His latest release, Animals, features an impressive roster of guest artists like Nick Hakim, Laura Mvula, Danny Brown, Shabazz Palaces, Vijay Iyer, and Theo Croker, just to name a few. He's currently on tour opening for Diggable Planets for their 30th anniversary tour of their landmark debut album, Reachin'. Casa Overall and Diggable Planets will be playing tonight here in Denver at the Ogden Theater, and I'm thrilled to welcome to KUVO Casa Overall. Casa, welcome.
What's up, man? Thanks for having me.
That was a beautiful song, Visible Walls, from your album, I Think I'm Good. Talk to me about that song.
I think that's a song that it has, like, multiple different meanings to it. You know, when I first started thinking about the idea of the walls and that album specifically, I was dealing with unpacking a time when I went to the mental institution for 2 weeks. You know, I had a manic episode in college.
Yeah.
And, so I was in there for 2 weeks, and it was almost like this feeling of being locked up against your will and that whole kind of feeling, right? And though I probably should have been in there at that time to kind of cool out and to, you know, find myself, it still felt like an injustice, you know? And at that time, also, when I was working on that song, it was kind of one of the first times when they were dealing with the walls down at the border and separating families from each other and all of this kind of thing. So it was almost like a multifaceted song that, where it had a personal and then it had a more universal, you know what I mean?
And you were born and raised in Seattle. You attended Garfield High School, where Jimi Hendrix and Quincy Jones attended. Then you ended up studying percussion at Oberlin Conservatory, and it was while you were in college and kind of learning your craft as a percussionist that you mentioned that you had a mental episode,
right?
And a manic episode, and you were institutionalized.
Right.
Were there signs? Were you feeling, like, what were you kind of experiencing where you were saying, something's off and I need to focus on this? What were those signs for you?
You know, it's been a long time, right, since that period. And so the way I look at it now is a lot different than the way I looked at it.
You're in a different
in the
space.
Moment. Yeah. But it's almost like two sides of a coin where you have special gifts, right? You have abilities, or maybe another way of looking at it is like sensitivities, where you're able to see and feel things a little bit more than normal. So that gives you like creative ability. It gives you an empathetic ability, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it can kind of throw you for a loop, you know? So I remember back as far back as in high school, I didn't even know what the word bipolar really meant, you know what I mean? But I remember being in high school and I would just get so happy. Like, you know, I'd be like amped just to go out and kick it or whatever, you know? And I remember saying to my mom once, like, yo, I feel like I might be bipolar, right? And it was almost a joke, you know what I mean? But the thing about it is I would get super amped and then a day or two later I would just be done. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I can't even leave the house. You know what I mean? And so I think that most people can relate to that on some level, but then some people just, you know, you could snap, you know what I mean? You mm-hmm. could snap in those extremes. So, definitely there were signs, but it wasn't anything that abnormal.
Right.
Until it was, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, I like that you are so open with it and that you're willing to talk about it. And I think, you know, especially in 2024, there is a need for Black men, especially, to talk about their feelings and mental health issues. And so I thank you for sharing your story and opening up that dialogue because it's really important for other people to hear that they may not be alone
right.
in that struggle, you mm-hmm. know. Once you kind of finish your studies, you moved on to New York City, where there you got, you know, integrated very quickly in working with a lot of the jazz scene in New York City. We worked with Christian McBride, Donald Byrd, Robbie Coltrane. What were your early days in New York City like when you just showed up? Did it take you a while to knock on those doors and get these opportunities, or was it pretty easy for you?
Nah, it was really quick, to be honest. There was a trumpet player named Wallace Roney. Rest in peace. He passed on. One of the greatest trumpet players ever. And he was mentored by Miles Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had met him before I moved to New York, and he wanted me to play in his band, right? And so passing through New York before I actually moved there, you know, I reconnected with him and his people, and it was like, yo, we want you in the band, blah, blah, blah. But if you're not living in New York, I don't know if we could really do it, you know? And so I just took a flight to New York. I had a friend that I could stay with, and I just took a flight, like, I'm gonna just visit, see what happens. And I ended up getting this gig playing djembe at a nursing home like 4 days a week, where it was like a, you know, mm-hmm. like a stretching exercise class. So now I'm making a ton of money. And then I just started getting gigs, you know. And I ended up working with Jerry Allen, who at the time was Wallace Roney's wife. So she was the first one to take me on tour. And after I started working with Jerry, different people just started.
It just started,
you know,
building from
there. Just kind of, whenever there's a new cat in town, you know, everybody's like, can he play? You know? Yeah, so, you know, I had that, and I ran with that energy. You know, I was pretty animated, and yeah.
Well, it led to your debut album, Go Get Ice Cream and Listen to Jazz, which featured the legendary Roy Hargrove on that album.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace. What was it like working with Roy Hargrove?
Amazing.
I bet.
Roy is somebody who I knew for many years. Like, soon after I moved to New York, I would see him. He'd be at the jam session every night, you know. And I might have met him 4 or 5 times before he actually, like, understood who I was, you know, or like he heard me play and was impressed or something. And then after that, we became kind of cool. And a funny story about that, I mean, the actual recording session is almost like an afterthought. Like, he showed up to the spot, I played him the track, and he just laced it. Like, he did a take, he did a couple doubles, and we sat and talked, you know what I mean? It was like so effortless, you know. And I think that what I probably learned from him is that effortlessness, you know, is kind of like the key. When you try too hard to make it
fit,
yeah,
it doesn't work.
It don't necessarily work. But if you can get into that flow where you're not so much judging what you're doing and just like always, you know, working on your craft, then you're just always in there, you know. So I learned a lot just being around him, and yeah, honored.
Your new album is called Animals. It's your Warp Records debut, and it's, you're kind of moving into a newer direction. You're working with some great people, like Shabazz Palace's Danny Brown and Laura Mvula, who I love, and I want more people to know about who she mm-hmm. is. I saw her at South by Southwest many years ago.
Oh, wow.
Talk to me about working with some of these artists on Animals, and Laura Mvula, especially, she's out of the UK. She just brings such a great energy and style to everything that she does. How is working with these guest artists on Animals for you?
Well, I say that, you know, I'm a fan and a student first, you know, especially when I'm working, really when I'm working with anybody, it could be like somebody new, mm-hmm. but like when I approach working with somebody, I'm really trying to learn something or trying to see how they do what they do. So I'm never really trying to direct somebody, especially somebody like Laura Mvula or Ishmael Butler, or you know what I mean? These are like masters. And so when I think about having a feature on the album, it's like the album is like a movie or like a story, and sometimes I can't tell all the stories. So it's like somebody else can bring another perspective to round out the big message.
Right.
As we're finding what that message is as we make the thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But one thing, like working with her, and this is true with a lot of cats, I've known a lot of these people for years, and I've been like in conversation with them about music and about doing something for years. And then oftentimes you'll get to a point where they'll be like, okay, let's do it. Yeah. And it still takes a lot, because these are like little magical wizard type folks, you know, like they're not easy to really, you know. So I had a session in London and she came to the studio and recorded a little bit, but we didn't really get it. And then I ended up coming to her house a few days later and we recorded it at the crib and like spent like 6 hours just kicking it and trying to find the song, you know. So
yeah, she's wonderful. Yeah. I have all of her solo stuff, and
yeah,
she's on the new Key on Herald album,
right,
too. So she's really lately has been really collaborating with people kind of outside of what you would normally think is her genre, which leads me to your next question. You know, what is the future of jazz and pushing these boundaries? Who are some of these artists that are coming up now that our listeners really need to be aware of, and who's pushing the envelope in the jazz world?
You know, that's a hard, that's two questions.
Yeah.
The first question, I'll do the easy one first. Like, there's a lot of different, you know, quote unquote, jazz has a lot of different limbs to it, and certain things could sound nothing like the other thing, you know what I mean? But my favorite pianist, his name is Sullivan Fortner. He's on a lot of my music. He works with Cecile McLaurin-Savant,
mm-hmm,
who's also one of my favorites.
Yeah. You did a remix for her on the Wuthering Heights.
Yeah, I did a remix for her. And those are both good friends. Joel Ross, Ambrose Akinmusiri. He's not new, but he's always going to be one to watch. He put out an album with Bill Frisell and Herlin Riley, which is a strange, you know, mm-hmm, it's a switch up direction for him. So that's exciting. Aaron Parks, David Vareles, Cisco Swank in another direction. He's more with the kind of jazz hip hop direction. And then, you know, also shout out my band, you know, Tomoki Sanders, who's the offspring of Pharoah Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing sax drummer, producer, multi-instrumentalist. Ian Finkelstein, who's playing keys in my band. He's from Detroit. He studied with Jerry Allen. And he also makes a lot of, like, Detroit house type, mm-hmm, music. And Benji Alance, who's my percussionist. And he's a Haitian-American percussionist, amazing cat. So, I mean, there's a lot of people to watch. Some of the people we might not even know yet.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
yeah,
there's so much. The spirit is eternal, and it'll keep recreating, you know?
Well, we are live in studio here at Kuvo Jazz with Casa Overall. He's in town, going to be opening for Diggable Planets at the Ogden Theater. The new album, Animals, is out now, and you can catch Casa Overall tonight here in Denver. Casa, thank you so much for stopping by and talking to us today.
Glad to be here.
All right. Well, we're going to leave you with The Lava is Calm by Casa Overall off the new album, Animals, here on Kuvo Jazz.